We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Audacy put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Audacy. Visit ads.audacy.com.
Let's go!
Lawrence Holmes, noon to 2 on Sports Radio 670 The Score and 670thescore.com, a radio.com sports station.
Previously on the Lawrence Holmes Show.
Regardless of who our opponent is, you know, sometimes players play better against some opponents, but I said last night, three games, it's really been four after yesterday, it's been four games now that Mitch has really stacked some strong games together.
That's Matt Nagy at Hallis Hall. You know what I wish he would stop doing? I wish he would, the hyperbole, like, if you want to say that Mitch played three good games, okay, but then you don't have to then extend. And they scored 7 points against the Rams. And I know that the scoring isn't the only thing that you can judge a quarterback on, but you scored 7 points. So just be happy with the way that he played, because he balled out yesterday. But be cool. Like, it's not some referendum on what he is as a... I just wish he would just calm down. Like, put the gas away just a little bit.
Make me a bicycle clown!
Hey, welcome in. Lawrence Holmes here with you until 2 o'clock today. We are broadcasting live from the Hyundai Score Studios. Visit our local Hyundai dealer and test drive the Hyundai Palisade today. Here's what we have planned for you. We're going to talk a little bit of football today with Big Ann Heron. We're also going to talk a little bit about what's going on with DePaul basketball today. We're going to discuss the NFL as a whole. And I think that we need to have a family discussion, meaning you and I. Because we family, as Bernie Mac would say, we need to talk about what happened last night on Sunday Night Football and all that sort of stuff. The executive producer of this fine program on his first day on the job is Herb Lawrence. Rick Camp is right here. You will hear those two guys' voices throughout the show. They are part of the party, as are you. You can text us at 670-11. Herbie, you ready? You ready to do the rundown? All right, cool. Let's go. We start the show as we start all things with a rundown.
Run them down.
The rundown.
Why don't we take a look at the NFL? The Bears are obviously off, but there was a lot of stuff going on. Like, I don't know, on Sunday Night Football where Deshaun Watson was doing Deshaun Watson things.
Out of the gun, the gift to Johnson, who gives it back to DeAndre Hopkins, who pitches it to Deshaun Watson, running down the sidelines and running in for the touchdown. Oh my goodness, DeAndre Hopkins with the option pitch to Deshaun Watson and a touchdown for the Texans. Some razzle-dazzle gives him a 27-9 lead.
So the pass was deemed to be forward, so it ends up being a touchdown reception instead of a rushing touchdown. Fun little note, the last quarterback to throw three touchdowns and receive one in a game, Jim McMahon, your Bears quarterback, and the guy who should have been the Bears quarterback. Speaking of which, hey, Deshaun, where did you get that idea for that play?
And can you tell me how that came about?
Yeah, I mean, we were watching the game, and actually, I think it was Chicago that did it. And Chicago did it, and, you know, we brought it up, and me and Adrian McCarron was looking at it, was watching film one day, and was like, actually, we probably can run that. So we kind of threw it out there to Tim Kelly and LB, and then the Hop saw it, and the Hop, of course, he's like, yeah, let's do it. So he was excited, so we kept working on it, and we, you know, knew it was the perfect time where once we get inside that five, it was going to come, so it was good.
He drew it out on a cocktail napkin and took it to his offensive coordinator, and the coordinator was like, hey, let's do it. I'm so mad that he's not a Bear. Okay, all right, we'll keep going. Aaron Rodgers and his offense got things together against a really terrible Giants team that the Bears beat.
Rodgers goes quick count. Back to throw. Looking, steps up, throws end zone. Devontae, touchdown! On a leaping grab! Left side of the end zone! Oh my goodness!
Did you just throw Jodeci in there?
Oh, yeah.
Oh my God. I'm looking forward to the Venn diagram of the people who understand that. And then, if that wasn't enough, you had Lamar Jackson out here doing special stuff. Getting 100 rushing yards in the game yesterday. San Francisco played him tough. That was a really fun, low-scoring game. And then you turn it over to the one kicker in the NFL that you can actually trust.
I feel like in the spirit of my teammates who have been up here to talk to you guys the last few weeks, I should say something like real inspiring, like big trust.
Big trust. Justin Tucker comes through, makes a game-winning field goal. Now on to Bears conversation. This is what Mitchell Trubisky hopes happens for Anthony Miller, despite things going well so far for him.
It's always just staying humble and wanting more for yourself. So, I mean, he had a huge game, a bunch of catches, and I think 140 yards or something. But I was like, it could have been even bigger. And I always say that about my own game, too. Like, you leave some passes out there, you leave some catches out there, a couple routes here and there, and then just continue to do your job when you're not getting the football, opening up other guys. He did a great job in the run game, blocking for other guys on the screen game as well. So just really doing your job the absolute best you can every single snap and trying to get close to perfect, even though it's not attainable. Just continue to stay hungry. And it's my job to continue to push these guys, especially Anthony, and he's done a great job responding, and he's been working his tail off.
Good, because those guys hooked up on a lot of passes in the game against Detroit. Mitch played great, which is what I expected him to, against a man, primarily man defense that for some reason Matt Patricia still wants to run, which I don't quite understand. But if Mitch sees a man defense, he's going to tear it apart. And at this point, the Bears just need to keep stacking wins, although we do need to start talking about some of the games that you should be cheering for other teams and which teams you should be cheering for, that sort of stuff. Oh, by the way, don't know if you know this, but Akeem Hicks was back at practice yesterday. It was the first day that he was allowed off of IR return. He gets to practice for a week. He's not eligible to play Thursday against the Cowboys. He will be eligible if they deem he's healthy enough to play against the Packers next week. Here's what Matt Nagy said about him yesterday.
It was good. It's nice to see him, like, out there on the field. You know, he's been on the sidelines, he's popping in and out, he's been around in meetings and all that, so he's never left us. You felt him, which is great, but to see him actually out there again on a very kicked back type of tempo practice was good.
We'll hear more from Matt Nagy coming up, because he talked a little bit about him today after another practice. We didn't run the Matt Nagy, but The most interesting stuff is what's going on with Akeem Hicks. That is your rundown for Monday, December 2nd, 2019. So on the show today, we are going to talk with Big Ant Heron. He will be here at 1 o'clock as per usual. We're going to talk with Dave Lato, the head coach of the DePaul Blue Demons, because believe it or not, DePaul is 8-0. We're going to do that around 12:45. I wanted to talk a little bit about this, and we can have some fun with it because we all know what happened, and there's some people like, oh, you should just let it go. I'm telling you, I try to let it go. I try to let go of the fact that they didn't draft Patrick Mahomes and that they didn't even sit down with Deshaun Watson, but it's just in your face. Watching Patrick Mahomes yesterday do all that stuff. He's running for touchdowns yesterday. He's putting the ball all over the field, being special. And I think that a lot of people have been okay with them not drafting Patrick Mahomes, because you're like, well, no one thought that Patrick Mahomes was going to be good, other than the Chiefs and the head coach of the team that is actually running your team right now. There were a lot of people who actually thought that he had a chance to be special. I think that for most Bears fans, you can let me know if I'm wrong, they're more mad, you're more mad about the Deshaun Watson thing, because he sets up perfectly for whatever it is you were looking for. And
It's hard to – there is no argument. There was no argument then, and there's definitely not an argument now for why you weren't paying closer attention to him. So, big trust that I'm sitting at home trying to not get angry. But those two guys won't allow me to not get angry because they continue to play so well. You watch Deshaun Watson play against the Patriots defense, one of the better defenses in the NFL last night, and he lit them up. It wasn't exactly the same type of beatdown that Lamar Jackson gave him, but he lit him up last night. And the play that made me the most angry was, oh, it's not a touchdown. And Deshaun just being like, oh, okay, how about we just run it back? Same thing. I'm going to do that to the Patriots. I'm going to do that to Bill Belichick and the Patriots. And he's out there playing air guitar. He's having a good time. His team's leading their division. They're going to go to the playoffs this year. And you just sit there. I was seething. Sitting there going, they didn't even, like in my mind, just sitting there on the couch going, they didn't even sit down with him. And I'm trying to figure out, I'm trying so desperately, whether I'm talking to people or just in my own mind, I'm trying to figure out how that decision gets made. Like, if you prefer Trubisky to Watson or Mahomes, I'm not mad at you for that. It's an inexact science, and it doesn't always work. But to not sit down with the guy that beat the Bama defense, which back then was pro level, tore them apart, a lot of pros on that team, won the national championship, clearly has impeccable character, had the same completion percentage as Mitch, played in the same conference as Mitch.
Didn't have a Camry.
Is that what it is?
Or Corolla, whatever it was.
He needed a beat-up car.
He had like his uncle's Oldsmobile Cutlass instead of his grandma's Camry.
He had a deuce and a quarter, and they were like, nope, can't have that driving into Hallis Hall.
Family values are a little messed up there. Not going to speak to him.
I mean, you have a guy that was touched by NFL Man of the Year, Warrick Dunn. A guy who took care of his family when his mom had cancer. Like, check all the boxes. Like, every box. Like, everything. Everything you want. If you were drawing up the guy, if you were drawing up the guy that you wanted to quarterback your team.
I mean, almost all the boxes.
Oh, but I'm saying, like, if we did blind resumes, okay? If we just put the resumes, and you can put all the character stuff in too. If we just put all the resumes together, and we said, all right, well, here's this guy's resume. Well, what's on his resume? Oh, well, he won a national championship. Oh, that in itself is pretty impressive. He's a leader, and whenever people talk about him, they talk about his leadership skills. What does his coach say about him? Well, the coach said if you pass on him, it'll be as bad as passing on Michael Jordan. Wow, that is something. Well, what else about him? Well, he grew up, and his family was having a really rough time, so Warrick Dunn got them a house. And then he used that as motivation to keep getting better and better and better. Oh, and by the way, his mom had cancer, so he took care of his brothers and sisters and her while that was going on. Man, this guy sounds too good to be true. I know. Did I mention that he won the national championship? And then you have Mitch's resume. This guy was Mr. Ohio football. Oh, that's great. Did he go to Ohio State? No. What do you mean he didn't go to Ohio State? He was Mr. Ohio football. No. He went to North Carolina. Oh, okay. So he started as a freshman. Nope. Oh, really? Why didn't he start as a freshman? Well, there was this other guy that was there named Marquise Williams. Oh, well, where's he playing? What team in the NFL is he playing on? He's not in the league. He was undrafted. Oh, okay. So then Mitch played the second year, right? No, he didn't because Marquise was still there. Oh, Okay, well, they won a lot of games that year, right? They were 11-1. Yeah, they were pretty good. What did Mitch do the next year? They were 8-5. Oh, okay. He's got a Corolla, though, or a Camry. I can't be the only one, right? Because I saw it in my timeline yesterday. I can't be the only one that was hate-watching that game last night. Just sitting there mad. Just like, this dude should be a Bear. And I don't know if it's ever going to be better. I don't know if I'm ever going to stop. It just makes me mad.
Just one correction. Well, not really a correction. Marquise Williams is on the New York Gladiators, or Guardians of the XFL.
Oh, well, good for him.
Ladies and gentlemen, this is the XFL.
He was a really great college player. He was. Like, I know that we laugh about it, but fam. And I don't know what it was. Maybe it was because I had all that time with no Bears to distract me while I was watching football yesterday. And then you're just sitting there and you're like, oh, let's see what the Patriots defense does to Deshaun Watson because they've been so good. And Deshaun's like, nope, watch this. We're so good, we're going to do this trick stuff that we just saw and drew up. We're like, oh, the Bears did it. Let's run that. It didn't even really work. And then he made it work.
I hope that Rev didn't teach DeAndre Hopkins that pitch because that was a rough pitch.
Yeah, he's going to need, Sunshine is going to need some help with that pitch because that's not how you run the veer.
That's a wide net right there. Everybody knows that reference.
Well, I hope so. I mean, we like to have fun on this show, Herbie. We do like to engage people on a fun front.
Right, Herb's so serious all the time. It really gets annoying that he just never lets loose and has fun.
Yeah, that he always is like that.
And I like it, like, short. Like, only like 1,000 people to know what the references we get.
Yeah, I'm okay with that. I like the people that are in. Like, we make wide references occasionally, but, like, the Jodeci thing. Like, seriously.
I know Rick is, you know, a musically inclined guy. I don't know if he got the Jodeci one.
I'm sure Colleen did.
Wow. Yeah. Yeah, I heard about that.
That is a wide net joke.
Well, sometimes there is stuff also for people, callbacks that listen to the show every day where they get it. Well, Herbie's here now. He's the new EP of the show. We need to take a time out. When we come back, I want to talk about Akeem Hicks. And I also want to text me if you were hate watching the game last night. 67011. Just let me know that I wasn't alone in this. Someone's like, well, you already did this show. No, I didn't, because I didn't watch Deshaun carve up the Patriots on Sunday Night Football last night. I'm going to keep doing it, too. But if you were like me, like sitting there going, they didn't even talk to him, like trying to explain that to people. Try to explain that the Bears didn't do a sit-down with Deshaun Watson. The national championship quarterback who finished, what, second for the Heisman Trophy?
And he beat Urban Meyer the week before. Destroyed him.
Like, didn't, like, nah, let's not bring him up in here. Let's not do that. Let's sneak around and watch Mitch play in the Sun Bowl or whatever the hell it was. Hey, are you Ryan Pace? No. I got this hat on. It's different. Back after this on The Score.
Watson gets the shotgun snap. Patriots rush 5. Watson will step up. Watson throwing deep down the left side. Kenny Stills in the end zone. He's got it. This is a catch. This is a touchdown. Kenny Stills, his second touchdown as a Texan. And now it's 20-3. Houston with a lead.
Herbie has already put his stamp on this show. Lawrence Holmes here with you until 2 o'clock. Highlight courtesy of Westwood One. They had our call of the Sunday night game last night. You know my favorite part of watching Deshaun do what he did? And trust me, we're going to get to some Bears stuff in just a second. My favorite part was Al, Chris, and Michelle being like, how about we tell you something else that's great about Deshaun Watson? And I was like, yeah, remember when they had that hurricane? They had all the workers and the Texans, and Deshaun Watson like paid for all their stuff and then gave that one person his game check that time? And I'm just sitting there like, tell it. Let people know. Let them know. And Michelle, and they're like, for more on Deshaun, let's go down to Michelle Tafoya. That's right, Al. Did you know that Deshaun Watson was sainted this week? He was named a saint by the Pope. Back up to you. Yeah. Chris Collinsworth is like, yeah, I saw the whole event with the Pope. It was great. No one doesn't like Deshaun Watson. If you just sit down with him for a minute and talk with the young man, you're like, Bears didn't even do that. The whole thing just made me laugh because it was like everything that we already know. Like, forget about, like, if we just watch them play. Like, you have that. So I love that Al, Chris, and Michelle, like, they just kept pouring it on. It was like they were doing the broadcast for us. For people in Chicago. Do you guys remember when Deshaun Watson picked up that car and saved those children? It's like, really? That's what happened?
I thought it was a little excessive when he wanted to donate both his kidneys, but he's still able to play.
Somehow, he's still ready to play. But family issues.
Like, not of his own doing.
Right. His mom had cancer. And he took care of her while she had cancer. But it's fine. It's totally, Herbie, it's totally fine. Everything's fine. The Bears are 6-6.
I'm trying to think. Didn't they go to North Carolina and give us dinner with Mitch Trubisky?
Yes.
Like, Clemson is in South Carolina.
It's right there.
It's down the street.
It's right there.
Like, they have a private plane, don't they? They can, like, rent a car maybe 4 or 5 hours.
Maybe they just don't like the food in South Carolina.
Well, let me ask you guys this question, and then we'll move on to the Bear stuff because we actually do have, like, actual Bear stuff. Which one of them is gonna burn us the worst? Now, Mahomes has got the early lead because he's got the MVP award. But which one of the two are we going to sit back 10 years from now and be like, son of a... Because I feel like if they just gave Deshaun just a little more help, they could win the AFC. Like, just a little more. I mean, he's on, obviously got DeAndre Hopkins. But which one of those two guys, or is the answer Lamar Jackson? Is that Lamar Jackson's just going to make everyone look bad for not scouting him the next year?
See, that can be forgiven because they already had a quarterback in tow. I think the Deshaun Watson one is going to hurt the most because when they traded up, I think most people are like, okay, they're trading up for a quarterback. Nice. The national championship quarterback is going to be a Bear. I'm good with that. And then when it's Trubisky, I don't know if you remember the reaction at the draft party.
It was like, oh.
Who the hell is Mitch Trubisky?
Yeah, which happens occasionally.
Yeah, and so.
Usually not with quarterbacks in the first round, but it happens.
It is part of Pace's job to vet all the quarterbacks. So him missing on Mahomes is also his fault because somebody knew about him. Even though everybody's like, well, no one knew about him.
Oh, he was like a surprise.
Kansas City knew about him, and they traded into the first round, up into the first round, to get him, even though they already had a quarterback.
So hey, Herbie, who was on that staff?
Matt Nagy.
Who was looking at that tape.
Yeah, and I'm sure Matt Nagy, they had a conversation with Mitch Trubisky. They're like, we're good. Good player, but nah, we're good. We're real good. And so I think the Watson thing, everybody would be like, you know, we could have had him. We had the third pick. We could have stayed steady, even if they traded up in front of us and got Mitch Trubisky. Still had a solid quarterback, better quarterback, in Watson.
It's funny how a lot of Bears fans were laughing at John Lynch. How's that going for you? How's that team building that the 49ers have done? All right. We're done. We're going to put a cap on this for the rest of the day today. Let it happen again on Sunday. But today, we're going to put a cap on it because there is news that we should talk about. And that's the fact that Akeem Hicks is back. It's a good thing for him to be back. I think it changes the way that offenses are going to look at the Bears' defense. I think it helps to take pressure off of Khalil Mack. Matt Nagy talked a little bit about the impact and the effect that Akeem Hicks can have when he's eligible to return, which wouldn't be until after the game against Dallas.
What do you need to see from Akeem in the next 2 weeks of practice to indicate that you think that he'll be ready to play in Green Bay?
Well, in practice, it's hard because there's no live, so that part's hard. I think just communicating with him, hey, how do you feel? Getting your, when you're out of football, he's still conditioning and doing that, but when you're out of that football condition for, you know, those 8 weeks, I think that's going to be the biggest thing is where you're at condition-wise.
That being said, what would getting him back in any capacity do for this group?
Yeah, well, it would be huge. Just because of, again, he's a dominant player that any offense that plays our defense, when he's in the game, they have to know where he's at. And so he brings attention. He brings double teams. And anytime you double team someone in this game, there's somebody else that has an opportunity. So the more people we can get to get double teamed, the better coaches we are.
That Hicks has been engaged in the week-to-week process, even on IR, you know, even traveling and stuff. Is that standard operating procedure for a player on IR? And just in general, what does that mean to you to have him and Trey, then, I guess?
Yeah, probably. I think every situation is probably a little bit different based off of what the injury is and who the person is, but I think it speaks volumes to who Akeem is, how he's decided to stay around and be seen every day, all the time. He's leading these guys in the meeting rooms. He comes out to practice, you know, when he's done rehabbing, and for these opportunities. So now you try to work back as best as you can, as fast as you can, and now when the opportunity comes, you're back at practice and you're trying to get back in there so you don't feel like you were gone, you know, away from the team, and now all of a sudden you're back. He's been here the whole time, and that's all, you know, his decision and what he wanted to do.
I give Akeem Hicks a lot of credit for that. A lot of times when guys get a serious injury, they're ghosts. And a lot of times the healthy players don't want the injured player around them because they feel like it's contagious. But he has been with these guys, and he is clearly one of their leaders. He and Danny Trevathan are clearly leaders on this team. I think that it absolutely changes the way that an offense has to allocate bodies to try and slow down the Bears defense when he's out there. And we'll see. It may not matter. If you end up losing to Dallas, it may not matter. But if you beat Dallas on Thursday, getting him back could be huge. We're going to take a break. We're also going to turn the page a little bit. DePaul's 8-0. Yeah, right? What if DePaul's good? I'm going to talk to their head coach about it next here on The Score.
The inbounds pass by Demir, and the Demons have done it. They stay perfect on the season. DePaul beats Minnesota 73-68. The Blue Demons have won 8 consecutive games for the first time since the 1993-94 season. How does this sound? 8-0.
Zach, it's better than that. They're off to their first 8-0 start since 1986-87. We're going to talk with Dave Lato in just a minute. Hey, contractors, the trade deadline is come and gone, but at SupplyHouse.com, you can boost your stock with Trade Tuesday. Tomorrow, December 3rd, go to SupplyHouse.com for pro-size discounts on all plumbing, heating, and HVAC products that you need. Stock up for the season during our best sale of the year. Take it to the house, SupplyHouse.com. DePaul's off to an 8-0 start. They have a win at Iowa and a win at Minnesota. They're taking on Texas Tech at the Wintrust Arena coming up on Wednesday night. Dave Lato is the head coach of the DePaul Blue Demons. He joins me now on the Alpamonte Ford Hotline. Alpamonte Ford has 500 new and used vehicles for you to choose from in Melrose Park. Dave, I want to start with this start that your team is on. What's it like to get off to an 8-0 mark?
Well, you know, it, from what you just mentioned to where we're at now, there's a long way in between those two, obviously. So, and you know me, I say it, and it's cliche, but I mean it and I live by it. We've taken it. I need to take it one day, one game at a time. But, you know, obviously the feeling of our guys is really good because we've seen success in some of the stuff that we've needed to do and try to do in practice every day. And then when they see it come to fruition, it makes them feel good. But most importantly, I think for people around our program and people in Chicago, to be able to see the difference in how we were and how we are right now is, I think, really good for everybody, good for our guys because of the feeling that they're getting from everybody around them. It's good for the school and especially people in athletics, but then our fan base and the people in Chicago, I think it's really good for as well.
I was
In a local establishment when you guys played Iowa, and I actually ran into Stephen Bardo, and I was talking to him because he had seen more games than I had up close, and he said, you know, he's like, I think DePaul might be a tournament team this year. And I said, oh, okay. And then a group of DePaul fans walked into the place I was at and asked to turn one of the televisions on to the game against Iowa. And so I'm watching Monday Night Football, and I'm watching you guys. And I looked up, and at halftime, like, you guys were crushing Iowa. So I got really, really excited. I'm curious, from your standpoint, did you think that that game would go that way? And was that the moment that you started to feel like your team might be able to do something cool this season?
Well, you know, I don't think any coach plans on going on the road, particularly against, you know, a like team. Team from the Big Ten, a team from the Big East. You know, they were in the tournament last year. They got enough guys coming back that you're going to walk in there and you know, win by 20-something points or even at halftime have the lead that we had. And so, no, I couldn't have ever imagined that. But I think, you know, two things happened. One, they didn't play as well as they started to play now, or they had an off night, and we got out of the gate really well and made shots, and then our defense was really, you know, on point. So there were some reasons for that. But, you know, it to me, walking out of there, it didn't mean, and I temper this, and I say this to the guys all the time, and I'm saying it to you now, is that I don't know that you can formulate the season in November and what we did, or even in December, because you know, you've been around as fuck. January and February in the Big East is murderous. And you could go on a slide that, you know, by virtue of the schedule or how other teams are playing, that you may not be able to recover from it. So I'm going to make sure that we take what we've done right now and build on it, because we've done some really good things. But at the same point in time, you know, we can't look to our left and look to our right. We can't especially look forward. And I've used this cliche, you know, last week with somebody else. I can't order the meal before I've gotten to the restaurant. And so we're just going to stay, you know, with the plan on trying to get better every day.
I watched Charlie Moore, and I was talking on my podcast about this a little bit yesterday. I think that he has a great sense and feel for the game that, you know, especially with the ball in his hands, he seems to know where the ball is supposed to go. Mm-hmm. When you got word that he was going to commit and transfer over to DePaul, what were your expectations for him? And are you seeing that too, that he has a great sense for the game?
Yeah, so a couple of things went through my mind when that happened. Is one, I've always loved him and believed in him since he was in high school, and I had just gotten back to Chicago, and he had proven it while he was a freshman at Cal. That's never went anywhere, in my opinion. And while he was at Kansas, you know, sitting out one and then not playing as much his second year there, I knew, without knowing him intimately, that he's a very prideful person, and he had a chip on his shoulder. So you take a really good talent and a smart basketball player, and you give him a reason. And so now we see that coming to fruition. And then the part, you know, as a feel for the game and distributor, I've always looked at him more of as a scoring point guard, or what I would call a points guard. But, you know, the last few games, especially the last two, his ability to see things as a point guard has been phenomenal while still scoring the basketball. And I think that's what's made me raise my eyebrows and say, wow, this guy's got something really good going on.
DePaul head coach Dave Lato joining me here at the Blue Demons. 8-0, got a big game this week coming up against Texas Tech. You know how I felt about Paul Reed since Paul was a freshman. You could see that he had skill, and now it looks like he's kind of grown into his grown man body, and I think that we're looking at one of the best players in the Big East. What have you seen be the difference between Paul when he first walked in the door and the type of player that he is now?
Well, there's a few things. One is obviously his body looks different. You know, he's still thin at his frame, but and he'll pick up more strength and more weight as he gets older. So that's the most visible difference, is that he looks differently. And as a result, mentally he's different too, because he walks around and prepares himself with a whole lot more confidence than he did when he was a young guy. But most importantly, Lawrence, that his development in the gym, because he's one of the guys that you know, goes above and beyond in terms of amount of time and what he works on in the gym. has allowed him to get better and keep getting better. And I think there's still a very, very high ceiling for him because he's got some natural gifts that not everybody has. You know, he's an elite level finisher around the basket with both hands. He's slithery. He's a rebounder extraordinary. He's averaging 11 rebounds almost without, and I think he can do more. He's got 8 shot blocks last game. So he contributes in a lot of different ways, which adds to his confidence. And it just, you know, talks about what you were saying in terms of what he's been able to do physically and emotionally since the time he's gotten here.
It's good to see. I'm really happy for him. Where would you like to see your team improve?
You know, I think there's a lot of ways. You know, we got to shoot free throws better. I think we need to rebound better. You know, our opponents have got more offensive rebounds than we do. You know, we want to get better defensively, obviously. But most importantly, I think offensively, we've got to execute better, particularly coming down the stretch. If you look at, you know, the Iowa game, and we were up big, so it wasn't as noticeable that we didn't finish the game the right way. Boston College, we didn't finish the game the right way. Even, you know, our last game in Minnesota, we didn't finish the game the right way. And so I want to make sure that if we're up, that we stay up and increase our lead. And I think all throughout the course of the game, but particularly in those last 5, 6, 7 minutes, our execution has to get a whole lot better.
Texas Tech, that program has been built up. It's a coach that you're familiar with. It's a program that has really turned some heads over the last couple of years. What type of challenges do they present?
Well, you know, I think that we play defense pretty well and we play pretty hard, and we're going to face a team that does that to the highest level. That's what got them to the national championship game, and it's something that has been, you know, the staple of Coach Beard. You know, since he's been in this business, I go back, and we were talking about it yesterday, a story where we my first year back here in 2015, we played Arkansas Little Rock,
mm-hmm.
and I guaranteed by him, it was his first year. And after the game, I shook his hand and gave him a hug because they had defended us better than anybody I probably had been around in a long, long time. And, you know, the way they play it schematically and then how hard they play it and how they rally to each other is really unique. And so they've been able to do that at the highest level now at Texas Tech and have a whole lot of success, quite obviously. So our preparation, you know, yesterday, today, and tomorrow is going to have to be really, really sound because of what I said before. And our execution is going to have to be really good to take advantage of some of the things that they do, which are very unique.
We saw that there were a bunch of people at the Central Michigan game, and that's a team that scores a lot of points. They're very exciting. And there was a little bit of a buzz in the Wintrust. What do you expect for Texas Tech coming in, what the building might be like?
Yeah, I would expect the same and more. You know, the Texas Tech has obviously some cachet to it. And so more DePaul fans or even casual basketball fans on Wednesday can come to the arena and see two really good teams going after it, you know, and it's an opportunity for us to continue to grow. You know, I think when you play a national team such as this, that you have an opportunity and it's a good test to see where you're at and to make some more, you know, headway in what we're trying to do both with this season and again with our program.
Well, Dave, I'm really happy for the start that DePaul has gotten off to. And if you want to get tickets, 773-325-SLAM is the way that you can get tickets to see DePaul take on Texas Tech over at Wintrust. It'll be a lot of fun. Continued success and good health to the guys on the roster. And I'm really hoping that what we're seeing is the beginning of something really cool, because it's been a rough winter for Chicago sports fans. And it would be a nice, easy pocket for DePaul to kind of slide into if you guys are as good as you've looked through 8 games.
Well, we're certainly going to try every day to do our part, Lawrence. And if the opportunity is there, we're going to try to run through it.
That is Dave Lato, the head coach of the DePaul Blue Demons. Big thanks to him and DePaul. They got Texas Tech on Wednesday night. We're going to take a break. When we come back, Big Ann Heron is going to be here. We'll talk Bears, Cowboys. That's next. I'm Lawrence Holmes. You're listening to The Score.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs.
Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.